Rock the Lakefront June 13th and 14th as Racine Harbor Fest returns for two unforgettable days of live music, mouthwatering food, and nonstop fun. Advance tickets $8, VIP tickets still available online at racineharborfest.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
First Union will be free, no justice.
A crowd gathers after the FBI arrests Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan. She's been released from custody after being arrested on an accusation of helping an undocumented immigrant accused of committing battery evade ICE agents. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
This is a proxy war now. Whether that was the intention or not, there is going to be a battle over whether this is an infringement of the separation of powers or whether this is a righteous move by the administration to ensure they can do what they say they were elected to do.
Dugan's arraignment is May 15th. Pope Francis' casket is now closed, ending 3 days of public viewing. Dignitaries from around the world have been arriving in Rome, including President Trump and the First Lady. American journalist Kelsey Gussie, who met the Pope twice, will deliver one of the readings during tomorrow's funeral service at St. Peter's Basilica.
I saw him as a grandfather, and so for me, I think I'll remember him as someone who really cared for each person that he met.
Pope Francis will be laid to rest in the Basilica of St. Mary Major. The Trump administration is trying to put pressure on Russia and Ukraine to finalize a peace deal. Negotiations continue today as Russia launched another strike overnight in parts of Ukraine. CBS's Natalie Brand has White House reaction.
Steve Witkoff, President Trump's special envoy, met with Russian President Vladimir Putin Friday for a fourth time to discuss a peace deal with Ukraine.
Russia and Ukraine, I think they're coming along, we hope. Very fragile.
The president said he's not placing a deadline on the talks, but wants to get something done as quickly as possible.
We're going to try and get out of war so that we can save 5,000 people a week. I think we're pretty close.
The man accused of killing United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson on a sidewalk in New York last year pleads not guilty in federal court. CBS's Katrina Kaufman has details on the unusual decision to make the killing a federal case.
What federal prosecutors say is playing into this decision to seek the death penalty are, for one, the intentionality and the circumstances surrounding this murder. It took place in Midtown Manhattan. They say this was meant to rally protests against the healthcare industry and draw attention to his ideological message.
Disgraced former Congressman George Santos cried today as he was sentenced to over 7 years in prison. The New York Republican pleaded guilty last summer to federal wire fraud and aggravated identity theft in deceiving campaign donors and stealing identities of nearly a dozen people. U.S. Attorney John Durham.
He's going to federal prison, and he's going to be punished for his staggering fraud. Uses he put on our electoral process.
Stocks closed up on Wall Street. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Day two of the draft. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Green Bay, where the second and third rounds of the NFL draft going on at Lambeau Field. Some of the great Packers that have been taken in the past in these rounds include safety Nick Collins and wide receivers Greg Jennings, James Jones. Tomorrow's rounds 4 through 7, Packers GM Brian Gutekunst.
Yeah, I think, you know, right now it looks pretty good. You never know when the runs are going to go, and all of a sudden it won't, but it looks pretty good. We got some really good players up there. We're excited to get to them and see if we can add some players. Again, I think it was a really good night for the Packers. I'm really eager to get back at it tomorrow, see how this thing falls tomorrow, and see if we can do some good.
A full recap later tonight. NBA, the Bucks and the Pacers playing Game 3 of their playoff series at Fiserv Forum. Baseball, the Brewers making a roster move, moving pitcher Tobias Myers off the 15-day IL. To make room, they send reliever Brian Hudson to the Nashville team. The crew in St. Louis for a 3-game weekend series. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Demi Moore says aging is a gift and very different from being old. The Hollywood Reporter says the Substance actress says she prefers her current age to being 21, saying as good as 21 may sound, it was torture. The Oscar-nominated actress praised Oscar winner Anora's Mikey Madison, saying she gave a phenomenal performance. She also says that she has much more work to do and would love to be back on the Oscar stage. Also from the Hollywood Reporter, and speaking of Substance, Margaret Qualley has a new comedy that she's just learned will hit theaters this summer. Focus Features' Honey Don't also stars Aubrey Plaza and Chris Evans and is directed by Ethan Coen. Quality plays a small-town private investigator who looks into the deaths at a church. Honey Don't will hit theaters August 22nd. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
More news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight, a low in the upper 30s, and a gradual clearing for tomorrow, more sunshine throughout the day, and a high near 50. Mostly sunny in mid-50s for Sunday. Breezy, warm Monday, showers and storms, some severe. It's 46 right now.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the entire draft for the Green Bay Packers and also major things ahead for Congress, including the future of Medicaid. Your calls as well. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Get up, stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, Henry Cup gave him.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, it's Fun Fact Friday. We got State Senator Mary Kunish on, and then we also have a special guest, Kelly Miller. And Kelly is Ramsey County Commissioner in District 7 here in the Twin Cities, and that's a huge deal. And she's a citizen of Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe, so we have more people of Native origin that are running for office and winning, so we just want to give a big shout out to her and say Haley, I want to get to our weekly update with Governor Evers, but first I think it might be appropriate if we go through the Ho-Chunk's word of the weeks and talk about that before we get with Tony Evers.
Okay, that sounds good. Repping some Ho-Chunk language here before we get to Governor Evers of the state of Wisconsin. What was the last word that we did? I think we had Arvina Martin pick our Ho-Chunk word on Wednesday.
Bugake?
Bugake? Bugake?
And she kind of went, Bugake!
Yeah, Bugake. Yeah. And that's chicken, if you didn't guess by Bugake. That sound. Yeah, I thought that one was interesting.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah, she said that was her favorite word, and that might have to be mine now, too. Yeah. Keeping with our animal theme, chicken is not one of our 12 clan animals, but the snake is. So I decided to go with that one today. The Ho-Chunk word for snake is waka, waka, W-A-K-A. We have different roles, and each clan kind of plays those roles. And the snake role, or snake clan role, is supplying soldiers for warfare and environmental issues of the village. Snake clan also possesses other important political and social functions. So Ho-Chunk word, snake, waka.
That's interesting that, I always kid that it's a Siouan language that the Lakota got from us. And every time I say that, they always laugh, but they always say it from them. But Wakan teepee and environment issues. Environmental issues, isn't that kind of interesting?
Waka, little snakes.
Yeah. That could work a couple different ways. Oh,
jeez, yeah. Oh,
that's an inside joke. Well, and I guess we can see a snake waka. That's
interesting. It's similar, but I don't know what waka. Well, I don't know what that means in Dakota.
Well, I'm assuming snake. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know. But yeah, so that's interesting. What
well,
other
before words? I don't know, but before we get into more trouble, maybe we should go right to Governor Evers.
We should.
All right.
I think so. Oh, yeah. Here is Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin.
They are Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Every Wisconsinite should have access to clean and safe drinking water no matter where they live, and lead exposure and poisoning is especially dangerous. There's no safe level of lead exposure for kids. Even a small exposure can affect a kid for life, reducing learning capacity and attention span and affecting academic achievement. So I approved an emergency rule strengthening our lead standards statewide and announced new investments to support kids and families when they are exposed to lead. But we should be working to prevent our kids from ever being exposed to lead in the first place. Wisconsin has recently seen cases of lead poisoning in kids who were exposed to dangerous levels of lead at school. At school, folks. That should never happen anywhere in Wisconsin, period. We have to work together to fix this. I'm asking for bipartisan support to invest over $300 million to help get lead out of our service line, bubblers, schools, homes, and child care centers for good. This includes relaunching the Windows Plus program to support lead-free renovations in schools, homes, and child care centers. And lead is just one contaminant that's affecting kids, families, and water across our state. PFAS exposure at certain levels can mean developmental delays in kids, increased cholesterol levels, reduced immunity response to infections, and even heightened risk for some cancers. And addressing PFAS and other contaminants grows harder and more expensive with each day of delay. Republicans and Democrats must work together to finally get something done on this issue, to strengthen groundwater standards for PFAS, and support my investment of over $145 million to fight PFAS contamination statewide. Cleaning up our water is a key part of our work to keep kids and families across Wisconsin healthy and safe. So in 2025, the year of the kid, let's make it happen, folks. Thank you. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Wow, yeah, lead paint is still out there. That's crazy. And the PFAS and... all
water.
These things that, yeah, it's just crazy that.
And finding all those water levels, you know, with high lead in schools. I mean, like you said, that we should, clean drinking water should be available everywhere. And, you know, high levels of lead should not be showing up in places like school.
You know,
the drinking water where our kids, you know, drink from all day.
I know. And it kind of joking, but, you know, I was brought up where lead was in the paint. So kids really got hampered by eating paint chips, you know, that were coming off.
Gee.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I have an excuse.
Yeah. Well, like it said, like that stuff causes developmental delays. And also to that's just what it does to us as humans. I don't, you know, I'm sure it does a lot worse things or, you know, things to the environment and our, you know, waterways and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we got a lot going on this month, you know.
Yeah, we do.
Just to name a couple, I really like Jazz Appreciation Month, being a former trumpet player and also a co-teacher of music at in the high school level. And I just want to give a shout out to my friends and fans out in Madison, Wisconsin, where I lived for a while, the Madison Scouts Drum and Bugle Corps, nationally renowned. Just a big shout out to those guys and the alumni.
Ooh. Cool. Well, all you jazzy folks out there.
Yeah, exactly. Jazz hands.
Well, yeah, the month of April is a lot of things. I know we mentioned April is also Sexual Assault Awareness Month. A couple mm-hmm. great resources locally here, the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition and the Minnesota Indian Women's Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, MIWRC in Minneapolis mm-hmm. is a great one. Also, April's also Stress Awareness Month. A lot of things going on locally, at the federal level.
Yeah, seriously.
Talk about stress, right? So
exactly.
Just make sure you're taking care of yourself, putting yourself first, your physical needs, your emotional needs, things like that. It's also National Autism Awareness Month. It's National mm-hmm. Child Abuse Prevention Month. Really important one.
Mm-hmm.
National Minority Health Month. also. National Public Health Week is the first week in April. This is a big one, too. I wanted to make sure we mentioned this. April is also Genocide Awareness Month. And this is something that has not been talked about on mainstream media outlets. The more that we get into this year, I'm seeing a lot of the main media's being censored with what we're not seeing. Worldwide protests for us here in the United States that we're not seeing, that broken deal of the ceasefire on Gaza and reattacking the Gaza Strip, that is genocide. And us as Native Americans need to be speaking on that, because when we see things like that, it's, you know, that's trauma. That was something that also happened here to us and was not speaked upon.
Too many innocent people dying for no reason. I mean, Gaza is one thing, but the way they're attacking Palestinians, us Native Americans can definitely relate to that. So free Palestine.
Yes. Keep supporting and keep speaking up to those doing the oppressing.
Hey, it's Native Roots Radio. Up next, State Senator Mary Kunish and her special guest. This is Native Roots Radio.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a to-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Summer is fast approaching. How will your teens spend their days? Reconnecting Our Roots is a unique opportunity for Native American teenagers from the Twin Cities area. Students will engage in cultural activities and learn about Native histories rooted through Minnesota Mokoche in a welcoming environment. The summer session runs July 14th through the 18th at the Minnesota History Center, and a stipend is available for those who attend each day. Learn more and apply now at mnhs.org/NEI.
Now showing at MIA. Artist Mary Sully was a visionary ahead of her time. Born on the Standing Rock Reservation, she worked in near obscurity between the 1920s and 1940s, creating intricate, vividly colored drawings that blend Dakota heritage with modern life. Now on display at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, experience the first solo exhibition featuring Mary Sully's work and see how her art challenges traditional ideas of Native and modern art. Only at MIA and always free to visit. Learn more at artsmia.org.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, I was just down there today, and then down the street, I was just having a little lunch at the Indian Center in Minneapolis. Hey, great to have State Senator Mary Kunish on here. And we have a guest here that, State Senator, we are so proud to amplify what's happening here with Kelly. And I would like to just kind of in this segment, just hand over the show to you and talk to our friend Kelly Miller and introduce her. So again, welcome State Senator Mary Kunish.
Hi, Matakiape, everybody. Yeah, it's exciting to have Kelly on the show today and share all the good work that she not only is doing right now as a Ramsey County Commissioner, but the work that she's been doing for a long time to help meet the needs of our most needy in our communities. And I'll let Kelly introduce herself, but you know, a new commissioner at the county level is really important, and to have a Native person in that role, especially in the metro area. We have a large population, large urban population of Native folks, and it's not just the Dakota and the Anishinaabe in Minnesota, but, you know, dozens and dozens of tribal members from across the country live in the Minneapolis, St. Paul area and the surrounding suburbs, but we've never had that kind of representation at the county level. And I know a lot of people don't understand what the county does. It's sort of, I don't want to say it's like a hidden level of our governments, but it certainly is a really important one, but not always one that's so much paid attention to. And we are thoroughly appreciative of the work that the county does from a legislative level, because we fund the counties. A lot of the programming and the policy and the funding comes from the state legislature. And then it's up to the county to do those things that we ask them to do or we tell them to do. Most of the time we try to fund what we ask them to do. Sometimes it's up to the county to accommodate that. And I know that I've had to work with the county a lot around the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act, around foster care, around absenteeism and truancy. Good grief. I wanted to say truism, but truancy. We really are a very vital part of the work that goes towards meeting the needs of our community. And the county is just like one level closer, really, to the people, to the neighborhoods, and to the communities. So maybe, Kelly, you'd like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you did before you were handily elected this past November and what you're working on now.
Yeah. Bonjour, everyone. Kelly Nijangachwe Winnakaz, Abita Gijingukwe Dash Indu Ojibwe Winnakaz, Magizi Indumdam, Mississaugan Indum Jaba Maple Dash Inna. So thank you, everyone. My name is Kelly Miller. I'm the Ramsey County Commissioner for District 7. That includes Maplewood, North St. Paul, and White Bear Lake. So those are the districts that I represent. Prior to this role, so I was just sworn into office beginning of January, but I'm no stranger to our Native community or the community in St. Paul and Minneapolis. Prior to this, I was the Chief Program Officer at Interfaith Action of Greater St. Paul, but I came up on the Department of Indian Work side. So started as a food shelf intern in their food shelf at DIW St. Paul in 2014. Wow. And then worked my way up as their director, became their director in 2019, and then oversaw our food shelf, out of school time youth program, diabetes education. When COVID happened, we partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health, and we opened we were a COVID community coordinator for the Native American community in all seven metro counties. So we had a COVID hotline that then changed into testing, that changed into vaccines. And then our latest and newest program that we started was an economic mobility hub for American Indians in Ramsey County. And that's working with American Indian families in a holistic way, more family coaching approach. And we were able to have 26 of our families receiving guaranteed basic income, so do a pilot on that. So the hub is still going, still working. That's in partnership with the Montessori American Indian Child Care Center. And I handed all that great work off to their new director, which is Teresa Halverson Lee. She's amazing. And this is, as a county commissioner, is a full-time job. So I did have to resign from Interfaith Action, but I'm still a part of the community. You still see me out at a lot of community events because it's our community.
Yeah. Yeah. We just saw you at the memorial for, for our friend from St. Paul, and that was really great to see you.
Yeah, my daughter loves to dance. She's hoping to run for princess one year, so I was like, well, we got to get out there, you got to keep practicing. So my kids love to be out there on the dance and the dancing.
Yeah So we it's always interesting at the legislature how we get to interact with the county. Usually, you know, well, like I've always had really good relationship with Ramsey County. Where I live, I'm in Ramsey County, but I represent three different counties, Hennepin County, Ramsey County, and Anoka County. And as I said, a lot of the work that is done at the county level comes through the instruction of the state legislature. And we often will, you know, I'll often meet with them during the summer, like the county folks during the summer, just to say, you know, how's it going? What is, what we asked you to do, are you able to do it? What are the issues? And so that relationship is really so important when we are looking to really meet the needs of our county. You know, counties have their own local government, and you know, the elected official is the person that represents those folks. And so it's just really important that that we hear from the county folks when we are putting together our legislative plans and omnibus, and take into consideration what you are all saying. So I'm wondering, like, what are, have you discovered are some of the, like, the top issues or the things that that Ramsey County needs to be working on right now, especially given the fact that there are strings being attached to just about everything coming out of the federal government. And I hope it's not going to affect the counties too much.
So I kind of want to go back to what you hit on earlier, is that people don't really understand, like, what the county does or how much the county, like, impacts your life, right? And so it's, I just want to go, like, it's important for the counties, like you said, Mary or Senator Kunisch, to have, to interact with our legislators for so many reasons. Like, counties are the implementers of so much policy that is, and funding that is passed down through the state. So so we don't really cover K through 12 or early or higher education, but we do work with a lot of those families. But we definitely do more than the cities, especially when it comes to mandates. We implement the important health and human services programming, the public health, bigger transportation projects, and then even transit systems as well, in collaboration with Metro Transit, which is really huge. I just want to say, I, for one, have enjoyed connecting with the legislators like yourself. We are very fortunate, like you said, you know, we have a great relationship with our legislators at Ramsey County at the board level. A few of them were legislators themselves, so they really understand the importance of that work and keeping those relationships. So we are kind of lucky. We are home to the Capitol and also often called to be part of the official record of testimony. We're active in our statewide association, or also known as the Minnesota Association of Councils. And then we do have government relations staff who are at the Capitol all the time, and they are absolutely fabulous to work with. I've noticed the bigger counties have some staff, which is helpful for tracking bills, getting hearings, helping with some of our coalition work and finding opportunities. But what we're seeing here, and I don't think people, you know, again, I'm still learning this, so yeah, I mean, I guess you can quote me, but as I'm still learning, right, like, some of these mandates and some of these funding opportunities, if they are put onto the county and they're on, they come with non-funding, then it essentially leaves us to shift around our budgets. And sometimes I'm hoping that it doesn't have to come down to then as being implemented on the taxpayers. So a worry that I have, and that, you know, we're watching closely here, as our county staff and leadership is watching closely, is how, like, the federal mandates and the federal funding is affecting states, and how states' funding is now affecting the counties, because that all has a trickle down effect. And then essentially if the burden is carried more on the counties, then it and we are not able to fund that, then it gets brought onto the taxpayers or the levy, or things will have to get cut, right? Those tough decisions will have to be made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think people always realize that there's, you know, a finite amount of dollars out there. And those dollars that we use on all of these services actually come from the taxpayer, mm-hmm. and sometimes from fees or things that we charge for. And so, you know, I think we all want to not have to pay the most tax mm-hmm. possible, but our tax base is what helps pay for our schools. Mm-hmm. It helps pay for our roads and bridges. It helps pay for trash and transportation issues.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
CBS News Brief. A Wisconsin judge has her own arraignment to attend next month. Feds arrested Judge Hannah Dugan for allegedly helping an undocumented defendant avoid arrest by ICE agents. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley.
Today's arrest of Judge Hannah Dugan was clearly more about hype than it was about keeping our community safe.
The Vatican says about 250,000 mourners paid tribute to Pope Francis over the past 3 days of public viewing, and dignitaries from around the world, including President Trump, will attend his funeral tomorrow. CBS's Chris Livesay.
Papal funerals are usually full of pomp and pageantry, but Francis hated those things and toned down the rituals before he died.
In an effort to get a Ukraine-Russia peace deal, Special Envoy Steve Witkoff is in Moscow meeting with Russia's President Putin. CBS's Olivia Rinaldi with President Trump's comments.
They said they have a lot of things going on. He feels very confident that they could reach a potential deal with Russia on the ongoing war in Ukraine.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Day two of the draft. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Green Bay, where the second and third rounds of the NFL draft going on at Lambeau Field. Some of the great Packers that have been taken in the past in these rounds include safety Nick Collins and wide receivers Greg Jennings, James Jones. Tomorrow's rounds 4 through 7, Packers GM Brian Gutekunst.
Yeah, I think, you know, right now it looks pretty good. You never know when the runs are going to go, and all of a sudden it won't, but it looks pretty good. We got some really good players up there. We're excited to get to them and see if we can add some players. Again, I think it was a really good night for the Packers. I'm really eager to get back at it tomorrow, see how this thing falls tomorrow, and see if we can do some good.
A full recap later tonight. NBA, the Bucks and the Pacers playing Game 3 of their playoff series at Fiserv Forum. Baseball, the Brewers making a roster move, moving pitcher Tobias Myers off the 15-day IL. To make room, they send reliever Brian Hudson to the Nashville team. The crew in St. Louis for a three-game weekend series. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Two Hollywood movers and shakers are about to get even busier as they team up for a new psychological thriller. American Hostage is a new series from MGM Plus and will star John Hamm, and Sean Ryan will executive produce. The show is set in the 70s and follows Hamm's character, who is a reporter forced to interview a hostage taker in the middle of a crisis. Hamm is currently starring in Your Friends and Neighbors, and Ryan recently executive produced and wrote The Night Agent. Pamela Anderson's recent film, The Last Showgirl, brought her critical praise and some Oscar buzz, but it did not result in a nomination. Not sure if it's a snub or not, but according to the New York Post, it motivated the Baywatch actress to retaliate by moving to Massachusetts to do theater. Anderson will star in Tennessee Williams' Camino Real this coming summer. Anderson made her Broadway debut in Chicago in 2022. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight, a low in the upper 30s. And a gradual clearing for tomorrow, more sunshine throughout the day, and a high near 50. Mostly sunny in mid-50s for Sunday. Breezy, warm Monday, showers and storms, some severe. It's 46 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Check out my war plans.
Pete Hegseth talking about first big strike against the Houthis in Yemen on Signal, two separate channels. Yes, the one you heard about before with the reporter on it. Oops-a-daisy. And now also his wife, his bro, and his lawyer who magically got hired by the Pentagon. This guy's judgment could not be worse. Do you think Hegseth should probably resign?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Civic Media.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Uh-huh!
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we are here with State Senator Mary Kunish of the great state of Minnesota, and we're like celebrating here with Kelly Miller, our Ramsey County Commissioner, Native American. And I want to hand this back over to you, to State Senator Mary Kunish, and this has been a very interesting conversation. And again, welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back is right. It's really been fun chatting with Kelly, and we were saying, oh, it went by so fast already. But I just wanted to touch on one thing that the counties do, and they do so well, and that is to provide free public access to public libraries through the county. You know, in Minnesota, the funding for our public libraries is sort of a mixed bag of funding. It comes from our local taxes, from the state allocation, meaning like me at the legislature, federal grants like library services and technology, and then oftentimes there's some donations. Mm-hmm. So I know that there's some really great libraries in your county, Kelly, and I'm wondering if you would just, you know, want to talk a little bit about this really absolutely important resource that our community has access to, and perhaps, you know, if the funding were to go away, what kind of an impact would that be, do you think?
Yeah, so Ramsey County, a lot of people get that confused, the city libraries with the county libraries. Ramsey County owns and operates seven Ramsey County libraries, and they are in various locations like White Bear Lake, North St. Paul, Maplewood, Shoreview, Mounds View, and I think that's it, I believe. And Arden Hills as well. So each library is a different size. I know North St. Paul's library, that which is in my district, is like a small satellite location, but it sees a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And the services that they provide there are just essential for the community. They're really like a hub, and they also have some Ramsey County service sites available there, and navigators on site to help them with more than just, you know, access to the books, to the study rooms, to the, you know, the resources and the classes that they offer. So, you know, it's a great resource for our community members. And, you know, I believe as well that you don't get overdue fees any longer. The Ramsey County Board, you know, did away with the fees many years ago, which is really beneficial. And, you know, making sure that the hours are accommodating and just that it's accessible for community members. So funding levels, if funding is decreased, I'm not 100% sure how that would affect us, but I could only imagine that it would affect our services that we provide in some capacity. There's a lot of programming that is tied into the library for teens, for children, for adults, right? Like, it's really a place where people can gather and learn and, you know, go to for more than just, you know, to sit around and, you know, to sit or read or check out a book. But and we don't want to lose any of those essential services.
No, absolutely not. I think some folks know that I was a library media specialist in elementary and middle schools and providing the library services and the technology. But I also, for a number of years, was a part-time resource librarian at the Roseville Library. And I got to do all kinds of stuff at the front desk, mm-hmm. where we would answer any questions that came to us. We'd help them folks find any book that they wanted or information on subjects. We could request information and resources from a number of other libraries across the country. So we could ask law libraries or academic libraries or specialty libraries for materials, and they would send them to us, and then we would get them to the person who requested it. But I got to work in the children's area, all sorts of different things, and it was amazing. You were talking about programming. At one point, I would go out and do technology classes at different libraries, and especially for like the elderly who wanted to learn how to stay connected to their loved ones. You know, they didn't know very much about the internet or having an email address or how to get pictures or how to send pictures. I mean, those are the sort of things that it provides for our communities. And it's also a safe place for oftentimes we'll see the unhoused folks come in and sit there and use the facilities as well. So our libraries are incredibly valuable, and I know that Ramsey County is doing a great job with theirs.
Yeah, they just remodeled the Maplewood Library, and it was really cool because in my previous work at DIW and with St. Paul Indians in Action, we were able to make sure that our language was included in some of the hello and welcoming. So that's really nice to see our native language as well, both Ojibwe, Dakota, and maybe even Ho-Chunk might be included. I might have made them include that. I'll have to check when I go there.
Bless you. Geeky.
I like that you made them do those things.
Yeah, you know, it's all about, we're a very diverse community, right? Like we have diversity in our community, and that's why it's so awesome to even just be on the board, right? Like our board and our leaders should represent our communities. And I feel like our Ramsey County Board of Commissioners is the most diverse in the state. I think we also can say we have probably the most youngest commissioners on board as well. So Commissioner McMurtry likes to say that. I think we're the youngest too. I'm like, I'm going with it. I'm going to say it too. I don't know if it's true, but I'm going to say it too.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Well, gosh, we really appreciate you stopping in, Kelly, and wow, congratulations. And I just want to say, as an old elder here, I'm very proud of you and I've known you for quite a few years, and see you in community with your family, and keep up the great work.
Thank you so much, Jimmy Gwich, for having me on. I'm going to go home and get home to my children. So have a great day.
Right.
Bye, Kelly.
Bye, Kelly.
Bye.
Wow, that was great. And thank you, State Senator, for facilitating that great conversation.
Yeah, she's Kelly is, you know, the kind of person you want representing you, because not only does she have the interests of our Indigenous community, but she's interacted with all the variety of community members, and she understands, you know, the really basic needs and issues that face our communities in this day and age. And when I heard that she was running, I was really, really excited and thought I couldn't think of a better person to take that role. And so I'm excited that she actually got elected.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned a little bit about libraries. I know. I wonder if we could talk a little bit more about libraries and museums here and again, hit the red alert button.
Yeah. You know, as the chair of education finance, under my jurisdiction is not just K-12 education, but I'm also have the budget responsibility for libraries and museums. And we have a lot of fabulous little libraries across the state. And, you know, some very big, fabulous metropolitan libraries, as well as museums, you know, really unique sort of local museums that focus on, you know, the local history across Minnesota. And we have the Children's Museum, we have the Science Museum, we have, you know, all these incredible museums in Minnesota, as well as libraries. And I get to help, you know, allocate the dollars for many of these libraries and museums. And they've been so underfunded, especially our libraries have been so underfunded for way, 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 way too long. But unfortunately, we received some really sad information this past week where the entire staff at the federal level, at the federal agency that funds all these museums and libraries, have been put on leave. Like the entire staff, it's been totally basically wiped out. And when you say administrative leave, nobody knows what that means. Will they be called back? Will they just never, you know, will they just become redundant? What is going to happen here? So on Monday, the federal government let go or put them on leave, the entire agency. And while it's a small agency, federal agency, it's only 70 employees. So honestly, if you're looking for cost savings at the federal level, is this the right place? And so it means that the awards and the grants and the funding to museums and libraries across the United States are, you know, we're unsure of what's going to happen there. Minnesota itself receives $4.7 million from the federal government around libraries and museums. And maybe that doesn't sound like a whole lot, but when we have small budgets to begin with, this is going to affect Minnesota's Department of Children, Families, and Learning, because they do grants to state libraries. The Science Museum, the Walker Art Center, there's a museum called the Goldstein Museum of Design. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it is really a unique one. Mm. We're just talking to Kelly about Ramsey County. Their historical society is going to be very much affected, as well as the Wiseman Art Museum. Jeez. And so, you know, that's kind of where we are, and what's, you know, kind of part of what's going on at the federal level. It's their budget, you know, that they grant out is approximately $266 million. And I know there's other, you know, the Trump Musk administration is looking for waste, fraud, and abuse, but I have a hard time believing you're going to find much in that area. And I'm really very sad and very nervous, because we also have heard some mandates coming down for public education. I don't know enough about them, mm-hmm. but enough to know that they are requiring school districts to eliminate and remove anything that has to do with diversity, equity, and inclusion. And of course, that's going to have a huge impact on how we do things in Minnesota when we are very, very intentionally looking for ways to resource our community members that have been the least resourced for the longest time.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have more information on that next week, hopefully. That just dropped a few hours ago, and I saw some former teachers put that up. State Senator, thank you so much for coming on. It's a big deal. It's a huge deal, and a great day to see you and see you at the Capitol and see you working and in community. So thanks again for being on Native
Roots. Absolutely. Wapilatanka to all of you.
We'll see you next week. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Summer is fast approaching. How will your teens spend their days? Reconnecting Our Roots is a unique opportunity for Native American teenagers from the Twin Cities area. Students will engage in cultural activities and learn about Native histories rooted through Minnesota Makoche in a welcoming environment. The summer session runs July 14th through the 18th at the Minnesota History Center, and a stipend is available for those who attend each day. Learn more and apply now at mnhs.org/NAI.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including indigenous artists like Edgar Heapa Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demony, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back
to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
Oh. Wow. Hey, Wendy, there's a lot of pressure on. We've had a great show so far. I want to introduce my awesome, beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years and co-founder and starting Native Roots Radio over 7 years ago. And I've learned so much over the years with your segments. And tell everyone where you're at and welcome.
Yes. Hey, everybody. I hope not to ruin the show. So far, so good. My name is Hannah Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. And we're going to be talking about a few fun things today.
Yay.
So there was a grizzly bear named Boo, B-O-O. He's very well known and well loved. And he lives at a ski resort in Golden, British Columbia. And he was filmed emerging from under the piles of snow as he woke from hibernation. And you could go on and watch the little video. It's really, really cute. So his name is Boo, B-O-O. And he's the grizzly bear from Golden, British Columbia. So check that out. It's a really cute little video. The other thing I want to mention, Robert, and I've talked about this before on the show, Robert and Haley, about wildlife overpasses that go over the highways. Mm-hmm. So there's these wildlife overpasses, and they go over highways to help wildlife get from one end to the other without them getting hit by cars. And there is one right now at the 101, this is from California News, 101 freeway. It's to close overnight tonight because they're going to accommodate the workers that are building this really large wildlife overpass in Los Angeles County. So they're going to close that to work on that tonight. But these things are really wonderful because not only do they save wildlife, they save human lives too, because there's so many deaths that happen when people hit animals in the road and just cost a lot of money. But anyway, this is really great news. And they also built many underground tunnels for the animals to be able to get by safely. So the construction crews broke ground on the Southern California Wildlife Crossing in the spring of 2022, and it's expected to be completed by 2025. This is going to be a really big one. The price tag for the project, which was originally estimated to be more than $90 million. Mm. So this is a really great project. It's going to save a lot of lives. In September 2022, Governor Gavin Newsom signed legislation to require the state to identify locations where animals face barriers that separate them from moving freely and prioritize building or converting existing infrastructure to allow them to cross more safely. So I love that story, and I hope that they keep, doing that, because it's really important that, we save the animals and people don't get their cars all, crashed up.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to talk about, since it's Friday and we're talking about Fun Fact Friday, I can't remember where we left off. I think it was like number 22. So I'm just kind of scrolling to get to number 22 here from last Friday. I have 101 fun facts here. Oh, here we go. Oh, this, I did mention this one, the fastest land animal. And Haley, you guessed it correctly. Could you remind our audience who the fastest land animal on the planet is?
It's the cheetah.
That's right. And the cheetah can reach speeds up to 75 miles per hour. I mean, that's crazy. If you just think about going in in your car and driving 75 miles an hour, that's like so fast.
Freeway speeds.
That's crazy. It really, that's astonishing. Baby elephants suck their trunks for comfort. Isn't that cute? Just like a little kid who sucks their thumb.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Elephants, sucks their trunk. The Nile crocodile's jaw can apply 5,000 pounds of pressure per square inch. That's the strongest bite of any animal in the world.
Oh, yeah.
I want to make sure I stay away from that.
Me too.
The giant Pacific octopus has 3 hearts, 9 brains, and blue blood.
What does?
The giant Pacific octopus.
Wow.
Yeah, it has 3 hearts, 9 brains, and blue blood.
Blue
blood. Wow. Mm-hmm. Like a rich person.
Yeah. Well, be really careful with fleas because a flea can jump distances 200 times their body length.
200?
200 times their body length. That's a pretty far jump. They're able to jump 10 inches vertically and up to 18 inches horizontally, making them one of the planet's best jumpers relative to their size. It's equal to a human jumping as high as the Empire State Building in New York.
Whoa.
That's crazy. That's a flea.
Yeah, that is pretty wild.
I know. Well, you know, Wanda, it's coming this time of the season here in the spring where we don't want her to get fleas or heartworm from mosquitoes.
Yeah. I just had my dog at the vet this morning, actually.
Did you?
And they were really talking and pushing all the flea and the spring tick stuff. And
I know. I put it on my dog. I give her the heartworm pills, but it always kind of gives me a little anxiety just because I'm like, oh my God, this is like poison that I'm giving my dog. And I've gone back and forth with so many friends and I don't know, just talking about it. But anyway, there's a lot of natural remedies out there too. If that's what you want to go for, that's great. You know, whatever. The male seahorse goes through pregnancy and gives birth to babies.
Yes.
They're the only animal on Earth where the male carries the baby rather than the female. And that's the male seahorse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. We kind of knew that. And I've talked about this before, but this is number 29. And this seems to come up on all my fun facts. The pufferfish, we talked about that, contains toxins. And it's 12 times more deadly than cyanide to humans. And there is enough toxin in one pufferfish to kill 30 adult humans. And there is no known antidote. However, bottlenose dolphins have been known to play around with these pufferfish because they're immune to this toxin, and instead of dying from it, they get high. And dolphins can play around with the pufferfish and take in this toxin and get high.
Wow.
I just like hearing you say pufferfish.
Pufferfish, yeah.
Thank you.
I know. Well, they could kill us, but
oh,
the 30 of us.
The dolphins get high. Yeah. Oh, we got 1 minute left here. Let's see if I could pick out a howler monkey is the loudest land animal. Its call can be heard from 3 miles away.
Howl.
A howler monkey.
How?
Yeah, there's a lot of different species of monkeys and different kinds of animals like that in the world. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Greenland sharks are the longest
lived. A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK. Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulswitz joins me in the guest host seat. We dig into Judge Hannah Dugan's arrest. What is going on here?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
April is Global Volunteer Month. Wisconsin's volunteers are transforming our communities every day through their acts of service. Wondering how you can give back? Find the perfect volunteer opportunities at volunteerwisconsin.org or contact your local United Way or Volunteer Center. On volunteerwisconsin.org, you can filter opportunities by location, organization, cause, accessibility, and more to find your best fit. VolunteerWisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. The final goodbye is now set to take place for Pope Francis. CBS News New York's Tony Aiello.
Security guards closed the lines to St. Peter's Square, marking the end of 3 days of public viewing for Pope Francis. The focus now shifts to the late pontiff's funeral and burial Saturday morning.
On his way to Rome for the Pope's funeral, President Trump spoke about tariffs. He still says talks with China have taken place while Beijing denies that.
In other words, it's called to open China. That would be great. That would be a big win. But I'm not even sure I'm going to ask for it because they don't want it open.
A couple dozen protesters showed up at Milwaukee's federal building after feds arrested Wisconsin Judge Hannah Dugan for allegedly helping an undocumented immigrant avoid being arrested outside her courthouse. Maxwell Love is with the progressive group Wisconsin Working Families.
What did the FBI director go and do this morning after this arrest? He gloated about it on Twitter. That is absolutely unacceptable.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.